the first time the Lord's Supper was taken was on the night of the first day of unleavened bread during the Passover feast. Jesus knew in just a few short hours he would no longer be with his followers. He knew every detail of what was about to happen to him, but Jesus wanted them all to be able to come back to their senses after his brutal death. Jesus knew what was about to happen to him would shake his followers to their very core, and they needed to be able to return to themselves as quickly as possible to carry out the mission he had given them. Now, how could Jesus get his followers to return to their mission after his death? Now recall everything that Jesus went through, from the time that he was falsely accused to the time he was arrested in the garden, to the ridicule that he faced when he stood before the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. You think about the beating, the mockery, the spitting upon him, ultimately going all the way to Calvary's cross to be nailed there and hang between heaven and earth, be mocked by man. Everything that he went through, he knew he was going to go through. He knew that it was going to shake the very foundation of every single one of his followers. But each one of his followers, us today included, have a mission to accomplish for the Lord. If you're alive, you're alive today for a purpose, for a reason. And it's not your purpose and it's not your reason. You're alive from the top of your head to the top tips of your toes to serve Jesus Christ. And if you're not serving Jesus, there's not much reason for you being here. Do you hear me? So he knew they were going to understand, that they were going to see this atrocity and be afraid, be very afraid. So what could he do to get them back to their senses? Well, let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now let's read verse 25 again, because I want you to see something, especially my Wednesday night clap crowd. Something should have clicked with you here. There are two hemispheres in the Bible, my Wednesday night class. They are what? Old Testament and New Testament, right? A testament is what? A covenant or an agreement. The Old Testament was a covenant or an agreement under what? The law. The New Testament was a new covenant and a new agreement under what? Grace. Now, we just heard that word covenant. Listen, look, verse 25. "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, Lord, asking you to settle our hearts, still our minds. God, help us to understand what we're getting ready to do. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us right now. Lord, we would be able to feel your presence as we already have. Lord, help us to feel your spirit. Pray that your spirit would freely roam through these pews, touching each one of us, Lord, letting us know that we truly belong to you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, the way Jesus got his followers to return to him is the same way he uses to get us to return to him. by remembering. By remembering. How many of y'all recall when you were a child, or maybe when your children were children, they'd be going somewhere, or they would do something, and before they left the house, you would look at them and you would say something to this effect: "Colin, you're getting ready to leave." And this is your daddy, not me. He would look at you and say, "Colin, you're getting ready to leave the house. You're getting ready to go back to college. You're getting ready to go out into the world. Remember who you belong to." With Colin and Caleb, and who, you know, if you're here, it should have a twofold effect. First of all, when I look at my children, you know, and I say, "Remember who you belong to." Well, first of all, I want them to understand they belong to me. And anything they say, anything they do is going to come back on me, right? But secondly, they belong to who? Christ. They belong to God. And parents, listen to me. I want you to understand something. You'll never have solace. You'll never have any solitude until you give your children back to Jesus. Do you hear me? I've paced the floors many a night wondering, okay, they're supposed to be home at 11 o'clock and it's 11:02. They're supposed to be home at 11 o'clock and it's 11:45. They're not answering their phones and they're not responding to any texts. You know, what in the world's going on? I've paced the floor many a night until I finally did what my wife did. I gave them back to Jesus. They don't belong to me anymore. They're Christ. Amen? You've got to cut the umbilical cord. You've got to push them out of the nest. You've got to make them fly. Even if it makes, you know, if they're on the streets homeless, you've got to let them fly. Why? Because they don't belong to you. We need to remember exactly what Jesus did, and we need to remember that we belong to Him. You understand that, right? The way you live your life, what you say, what you do, how you act, how you react, who you hang out with, is a reflection on Jesus. You say that you're a Christian. You tell everybody you're a Christian. The way you act is a reflection on who you say you are and to who you say you are. Now, what is it that He wants us to remember? What does He want us to remember? Two times in verses 23 through 26, Jesus is heard saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." More specifically, we need to remember verse 26. Look at verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Well, what are we doing by proclaiming the Lord's death? Now, y'all stay with me. This is a short message, I think. What are we doing when we're proclaiming the Lord's death? Number one, we're recalling to memory what Jesus endured for us. That's what we're doing. We're recalling to memory what Jesus did for us. Well, what is it, Brother Kyle, that Jesus did for us? He took our penalty. We deserved what He received. Listen, we still deserve what He received. But through the grace of God, we don't have to endure it. Church, do you understand what He endured? Do you truly understand what He endured? And He willfully endured it. Didn't have to do it, but He did. Why in the world would anybody do such a thing, Mark? Because He loved us. I don't understand that kind of love. I don't. I can't preach about it. I can't write about it. I can't even talk about it to a certain degree because I don't understand it. I accept it. I embrace it. I try to preach and teach people that Jesus has this kind of love for us, but I don't understand this kind of love. That He would endure all that He endured because He loved me. He did. We need to remember and proclaim the Lord's death also for this. We are recalling to memory why Jesus endured what He did for us. Listen, He endured what He did to pay our penalty. But he also endured what he did, Mr. White, because we would never be able to pay that penalty. We couldn't pay that penalty. There's no way we could do it. If we would have gone through the same suffering that Jesus went through, it would not have paid the penalty of sin's debt that Jesus paid. Why? Because there's not one among us who lived a sinless life. Not one of us. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm better than so-and-so. It doesn't matter. You're still a sinner. The reason Christ was able to pay the debt that he paid is he lived a sinless life. He was tempted and never gave in. He was tempted by Satan to falter, but he never failed. He was a perfect vessel, a perfect lamb. He was a perfect sacrifice. And he willfully did it for us. Also, what we're doing when we're proclaiming the Lord's death is this. We're recalling to memory not only the physical anguish of Christ that Christ suffered, but also the spiritual anguish of being separated from God. Not because of anything he had done, but because of everything we had done. Now, church, I want you to understand something. I have been a Christian and I have been saved, and the Holy Spirit of God, there's been places that I've gone knowingly and unknowingly, that when I stepped foot in the place that I was at, the Holy Spirit of God nudged me and said, you don't need to be here. And I felt an overwhelming presence of evil where I was, and that overwhelming presence of evil enacted inside of me and let me know, hey, buddy, you need to get out of here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a scary feeling. There was a place in time where I happened to walk into a place, and I didn't have a clue what it was. And when I walked in the place, and it wasn't a bar or anything, Christians ought not go to bars. You're carrying Jesus with you. Didn't get many amens there. You hear me? Some Christians need to go home and pull your alcohol out. You hear me? Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and he that partake of is not wise. That means you're foolish. That was free. That's not even a part of the message. Listen, Jesus suffered spiritual and physical anguish. I don't know what it's like to be separated completely from God. I don't know what it's like for God to turn his back on me because what I have accepted on my body. I don't know what it feels like. I do know what it feels like to walk in some place that I shouldn't be and the Holy Spirit say, hey, buddy, hey, you don't belong here anymore. This isn't your lifestyle anymore. Listen, I saved you from this. Why are you going back to this? One of my favorite Mary Mary songs is, I've come too far to turn back now. Amen? Why in the world would you want to go back to the slums that Jesus saved you from? Now think with me here for a second. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And he heaped that on himself to save our souls. I don't know how dark the darkness was. I don't know how that sin felt. But he put that sin on himself. He did not deserve it. A physical and spiritual anguish that I can never, ever, ever explain. If I spent the rest of my life studying just the spiritual anguish that he endured, I don't think I could ever touch it. Being separated from God. Notice the Lord's Supper, church, is very simple. And its elements is what would be present in every meal of those who were his followers. The very last night Jesus died, the very night that Jesus died, I feel very confident that tears rolled down the faces of those who he had shared the first Lord's Supper with. Jesus, as they remembered his words, as they touched the piece of bread and they took a glass of unfermented wine, what is it that you think these who stood with Jesus that night did every single time they ate? What is it that you think they did? Those who partook of the Lord's Supper before He was taken, what do you think they did every time they approached a table and they looked at that bread sitting there? And they looked at that cup of unfermented wine. What is it you think that ran through their minds? They remembered. They remembered. They remembered Jesus, and that kept them close to Jesus. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? To remember Jesus. To remember Jesus. This morning we are going to take the Lord's Supper. And by doing so, we're going to remember what Jesus endured for us. We need to remember who we were before Jesus changed our lives. We need to recall how far Jesus has brought us from where we once were. Church, we need to remember so that we stay close to Jesus. And if we stay close to Him, we are less likely to fall or to fail Him. Church, Paul gave believers Paul gave believers instruction as to who was able to receive the Lord's Supper and who was not. The Lord's Supper isn't for everybody. You hear me? Now, we're getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not for everybody. You hear me? Paul gave us a warning. Why did he give us a warning, Steve? Because this is serious business. This isn't something we should flippantly do. This is serious. And Paul gives us a warning. Well, how does he give us a warning? What does he give us a warning? Well, under the scripture we read in verse 27, it says this: "Therefore, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in a way that he should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep or died. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that many may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait on one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that you can you can come together and not cause judgment. And I will give instructions about the other matters whenever I come." Paul's very serious here. He says, listen, you need to evaluate yourselves. Notice this isn't for me to evaluate you. I can't look at you and say, okay, look, you know, I saw you. You're not able. You don't take the Lord's Supper. You don't take the Lord's Supper. Maggie, you can. You're good. It's not for me to evaluate. Scripture says you are to evaluate yourselves. Do you know why? Other than Jesus, you know you better than anybody else. You know you better than anybody else other than Jesus. You know what you're doing. You know what you're thinking. You know where you're going. You know whether you're living the life that deserves to be received of the Lord's Supper. Now, understand, Paul stresses the seriousness of taking the Lord's Supper in a way that you shouldn't. He says, listen, the reason why people are sick and not well and some even die is because they've taken the Lord's Supper in a manner they shouldn't have. So what should we do? Right now, you need to evaluate yourselves. Look at your life. Do you have any open and unconfessed sin in your life? If you do, you need to take care of it. You need to remove it before you receive the Lord's Supper. And if you're not willing to admit that what you've done is wrong and what you're doing is wrong and how you're living is wrong, Don't partake of the Lord's Supper. Nobody's going to look at you and condemn you or say, hey, you know, so-and-so didn't take the Lord's Supper. You just know that you're not where you ought to be. So right now, I want everybody to stand. I want to ask Pat if she will come. We're going to have a time of invitation. The altar is going to be open. And if you need to come and just spend some time with the Lord, we want to invite you to come. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you don't need to partake of the Lord's Supper. Get that right first. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, right now is the time. Come forward. I'll show you what the Bible says you must do. Every person must do to have eternal life. And then you can partake of the Lord's Supper correctly. Let's all bow. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We pray that you would be with us right now during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, nobody looking around, do you need to come?